At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollection series today. Interesting selection. Ed Dixon, the tight end, drafted the same draft as Dennis Pitta, as people may remember, in 2010. And here to talk about him with me is Dan Abrahimi. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thank you so much for having me back.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Dan's been on the show, of course, a number of times. You people remember from all sorts of content, particularly last summer. Dan, why Ed Dixon?
So yeah, that's a really good question, Ken. To be honest, it revolves around the 2010 NFL draft tight end class. I think many books will be written about this tight end class, probably not for particularly good reasons. To start with Dixon, though, the two tight ends taken on either end of him before and after were Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham. The first six tight ends taken in the draft were Jermaine Gresham, Rob Gronkowski, Ed Dixon, Jimmy Graham, Aaron Hernandez, and Dennis Pitta. So that's quite a group there of six tight ends. As you mentioned in your notes that we talked about before the meeting, it's one of several Ravens drafts where the tight end taken first in the draft was not as good as the tight end taken second. Definitely, kind of became a theme before and after in Ravens draft classes.
Yeah, they've actually double dipped only four times in Ravens history at tight end. And I think you'd make a successful argument with me anyway, that each of the four times it was the second tight end taken ended up having the more successful career. In some cases, remarkably so. In some cases, maybe still undetermined, in the case of Likely versus Kolar. But Andrews was taken after Hurst. Boyle was taken after Williams. That's Max Williams, if you don't recognize the name anymore, or you're a recent fan. And Pitta after Dixon. So pretty much uniform in terms of that. That's very unusual. Also, it's kind of a little unusual to me that the Ravens have double-dipped as many as four times at tight end.
It is very interesting. It kind of, after each of those really just gave off the vibe from the Ravens that they wanted to find one good tight end in the draft, whether it was a good pass catcher or a good blocker. And they felt that their odds would be greatly enhanced by selecting two. Dixon did have a good college career at Oregon in the pre-Mariota days with Jeremiah Masoli at quarterback. He actually had very good measurables at the NFL Combine, 40 time, just under 4.6, which especially back then for someone his size was very good, and really good size and good production in college. So definitely see why he was a third round pick.
Yeah, 4.59 for him at that point. That really is, it still is, honestly, very good time. There's only a handful of tight ends who would be, challenging that time. But we really think of 4.6 or 4.65 as good speed for a tight end these days. I think there was some linearity to what Dixon did. He definitely had a slower 0 to 60 time and probably also was not the greatest route runner. In terms of really juking the opponent and making him make the wrong move against him. And one of the things I recall kind of from his Ravens days is a fair number of contested catches.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He was good in traffic. I think some of the more frustrating memories with him are possibly when he was in space. He definitely had had some problems with drops in his career, both as a Raven and moving on to Carolina and Seattle. But, you know, I do think in this case they drafted him for his blocking ability, and they probably weren't particularly disappointed by that. He did manage to stay healthy for the vast majority of his career as a whole, as well as his Ravens career. And yeah, he was, you know, a good blocking tight end for some great rushing offenses.
Yeah, I think you're right about that for sure. They must have also hoped he'd be a receiver too. You know, given the measurables he had, but he's big enough. I mean, at 6'4", 250, you're not a huge tight end. You know, there are guys playing the position certainly at 235 to 245 today. That would be really kind of a smallish guy. But there's other guys playing the position at 275 and 280 even. If we think back to Eric Green from the early days of the Ravens, by the way, would love for somebody to take Eric Green in this format. It'd be a lot of fun to talk about him. He really had trouble keeping his weight under 300 pounds, and yet that guy could still really travel.
Interesting. Yeah. Dixon, I totally agree. You know, the measurables and the athleticism definitely equated to the Ravens very likely having optimism for his pass-catching abilities and doing what he was drafted to do, which at the end of the day was to replace Todd Heap in kind of the twilight of Heap's career.
Right. Yeah. And they finally released Heap after the 2011 season, right? And he didn't get to play on that Super Bowl team.
If I'm not mistaken, it was 2010, because 11 was when both Pitta and Dixon really came onto the scene. Dixon was excellent in 2011. He caught 54 balls for 528 yards and 5 touchdowns. A lot of the production came in the first 9 games with 326 yards for 3 touchdowns over that span. Did a really good job succeeding Heap that year. I think the thing that may have flown under the radar was that Pitta did as well. And then Pitta also had a stronger postseason, even though his regular season stats weren't as strong as Dixon. And then 2012, obviously, we all remember that. We talk about Pitta for that season rather than Dixon.
Yes, that's true. And Pitta's Dixon's only season for the Ravens over 300 yards, so that 2011 season, he had 528 yards, but it was only 5.9 yards per target, which is terrible. Now, I don't doubt that some of that is on Flacco, but and probably some of it is on him for having a lower catch percentage than he should have had, as you mentioned, from the drops, but and maybe some separation problems as well. But that just was not very good. Very unusual player that he finished his career with his highest yards per target numbers in his last two seasons. So he had a lot of really bad years with both Baltimore and Carolina. In fact, his career with the Ravens, oh, I had it up just a moment ago. I got to go back to it now. His career with the Ravens, his yards per target was only 6.3. So that's darn bad. Then he went to Carolina, where he was no better for 3 years. And then in his final 2 years with Carolina, 9.1 yards per target and 11.0, just under 10 yards per target in those last 2 years combined at ages 30 and 31. It's very unusual. But, you know, the year for the Ravens, I think people will look at is that 2011 season, just from the receptions total or the yardage total. But for my book, wasn't a particularly great season, honestly, for important measurables.
Absolutely. Definitely see where you're coming from on that. And I think with hindsight being 2020, looking a little bit deeper at those measurables that you mentioned from the 2011 season, not all that surprising that that he never really lived up to that again in his Ravens or NFL career.
Yeah, one thing I found was pretty unusual about a player like him is he played in 15 postseason games. I did play in, you know, a good amount of the early Flacco-Harbaugh era, which included a lot of postseason games, obviously. He played 10 total with the Ravens, 8 during the 10 to 12 period, and then another 2 in 2014. Never had a TD, did have 7.5 yards per target in the postseason, so he's better in the postseason, kind of a big game receiver. And had in the 2012 postseason might have been his best run. Had eight targets for 90 yards during that. had a nice couple of plays in the Super Bowl, particularly on the Ravens' second scoring drive, if I recall, like a 14 and a 23 on that drive.
Absolutely. And you know, when I do think of Ed Dixon, it's that first catch that I think comes to my mind, and probably a lot of Ravens fans from that era. It was a 23-yard catch on first down. It was a really nice catch that he caught in traffic, and then he kind of stumbled to the ground. There was probably more to be had there, but didn't really end up mattering. And then, two plays later, another 14-yard catch that got the Ravens down to the San Francisco 4. Okay.
And then Pinnock gets the touchdown right there. But yeah, it was quite dry. They got the ball around midfield, and Dixon eats up 37 of the yards, and Pittock gets the last one for the touchdown.
Exactly. And you know, one thing that also really, really kind of stuck out to me with Dixon is that, you know, the most notable thing that happened relative to him in 2013 was arguably Pitta's hip injury in training camp. And you would think that, you know, going into a contract year for Dixon, that would have been a huge opportunity for him. The Ravens signed Dallas Clark a couple weeks later, who did not have a good season by most measurables. He was far removed from his.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First team All-Pro 2009 season and one of Peyton Manning's favorite weapons. And Clark totally outperformed Dixon that year. And it was very clear by the end of that Dixon was done in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bad year for Clark, as you say, with 6.6 yards per target. Clark had been actually pretty bad for several years, very much a possession receiver with Indianapolis and then Tampa for a year where his yards per target number were actually even lower. So, you know, if you have to really go back pretty far where Dallas Clark was a great player into the early, you know, 2004, 2005 era. But, you know, I guess he won his Pro Bowl appearance. He only had one. It was not until 2009 when he caught 100 balls. That was a great year, but really nothing after that.
Yeah, definitely very interesting. And you know, just that Dixon couldn't outperform him in a contract year. I think, you know, a lot of us before that 2013 season, if I could go back to my mindset when Pitta got hurt, I think, you know, the optimist in me was really hoping that Dixon could maybe replicate some of his production from that 2011 season.
Even negative fans, you still hope for youth to come through. You still hope for good things to happen. I'll tell you, as much as I think, you know, certain players won't be good, or particularly older players, I still obviously am rooting for them. I hope I'm wrong about this kind of thing, but I really, really root for young players where the Ravens may have a multi-year gain to be made from this. And it's one of the reasons I'm kind of frustrated whenever the Ravens get older offensive players on market value contracts. There's not a lot of hope for upside on those guys. You got a lot of hope for upside on, you know, giving the job to an undrafted free agent like Keaton Mitchell or like others who have failed, but like Keaton Mitchell or like Patrick Ricard or like, you know, Pierce on the defense and whatnot. You have some upside to be harvested there potentially, and you just don't don't have much anyway on a veteran side for market value.
Yeah, totally. You know, that's definitely one aspect of your philosophy that comes through in a lot of your podcasts, and totally agree with what you're saying. It is kind of better to take, especially when you think about the cost for some of those undrafted guys. I think, you know, while we're on the topic of tight ends, Travis Vokolek, it would have been great if he was able to stay on the practice squad throughout that first year. But unfortunately, it was Arizona who poached him, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it is very hard for a team that's as deep as the Ravens were at tight end to keep a fourth guy and you know, not have an injury strike the entire year. I mean, I'm sure they communicated to Vokolek how much they appreciated him and his play, but there weren't even opportunities for Kolar for most of the season. So getting Vokolek on the field was going to be that much more difficult.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And yeah, you know, I mean, Dixon, just thinking back on it, like he may not have lived up to the best case for his draft scenario. But, if people are calling him a bust, his spot track career earnings are still over $19 million. And he lasted in the league for, you know, 8-9 seasons. So, at the end of the day, I think he'll take that. He played in 2 Super Bowls, went to one after Super Bowl 47 with Carolina. Super Bowl 50. He's unfortunately the butt of some jokes from Carolina fans when they talk about Cam Newton's unbelievable 2015 MVP season, saying that Ed Dixon was one of their best offensive weapons. That's not really true. He was their 7th leading receiver, but kind of got a little chuckle out of that.
Oh, they're trying to point out that Cam Newton had such a great year because they had such a lousy set of weapons. Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I mean, it was kind of slim pickings. It was, you know, Ted Ginn, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert. So, you know, not a whole lot in the cupboard there.
What I remember about the 2015 Panthers is the business decision that Cam Newton not going after the fumble when I think Von Miller was diving on. Maybe who's the other guy? The guy on the other side, DeMarcus Ware, was it or yeah? And he anyway he was crashing down the football. And said, not this time.
Yeah, really bizarre. I mean, I think they were favored in that game, lost by 2 touchdowns, and had a chance to really be remembered as one of the best NFL teams ever since they went 15-1 during the regular season. But that was very much the Von Miller show, that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Let's see. If remembering other moments, there aren't a lot, but I have a few from his career. And you can go first if you want. I don't want to take yours if you have some to remember.
His best game with the Ravens was definitely in that 2011 loss to Seattle, 10 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns, great line there. And then another one of his plays from his Carolina days that caught a lot of traction online was he just picked the Jonathan Stewart fumble out of thin air and ran it 57 yards for a touchdown. I don't believe he got credit for a catch there, but still a cool play nonetheless.
So a couple things come up. We'll go with the good before the bad. First TD came in the Ravens win against the Saints when the Saints were coming off their Super Bowl championship. So it's 2010. He caught a 34-yard ball against the Saints to tie that game up at 7. Ravens eventually won 30-24. It's a game where the Ravens defense was really too much for Drew Brees, as much as that 30-24 score might not show that, but they eventually ended up having to stop Drew Brees on a fourth down play, got right up in his face and deflected a pass, and that was a ball game. The other one from that era is the opener of the 2011 season. Remember, this is his biggest season for yardage, but Haloti Ngata destroyed Rashad Mendenhall on a play right up the middle. And this was after Ray Lewis had already broken Mendenhall's shoulder in a previous game. But, they had a great close-up of Mendenhall's eyes opening wide up right before he fumbled and Ngata dislodged the football. at that moment, I believe it's at this moment, because they had a series of they gave up a touchdown, then they ran the ball and they gave the ball up again. Then Flacco immediately threw a touchdown pass to Ed Dixon for 18 yards. That's the Dixon highlight. But after the fumble, you know, set that up, I remember Tomlin being so upset and basically telling his players, get off the field or whatever. Like it was, they were being slow or something, or not to his liking in getting off the field, and certainly not to his liking in terms of the outcome. But that touchdown put him up 27 and nothing. And then that preceded the 2-point run by Cook, or 27-7, I think, at that time. Anyway, but anyway, that preceded the 2-point run by Cook, where the Steelers lined up very out of balance to try and block the kick, and the Ravens just ran it in. They actually had a rule change, I believe, after that, to force you to have three players on each side of the line of scrimmage for an extra point or field goal try. Might be just for extra points, but anyway, a lot of Steelers fans really hated that, and Harbaugh said, no, we're letting other people know we're going to run that ball in if you try and line up on balance like that. So we had to show that to other teams, kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, that was a very memorable game from Ravens lore. Obviously, anytime beating the Steelers, and especially by four touchdowns. And Dixon also was definitely a presence on special teams as a blocker. I know he was on the field blocking for Jacoby Jones' kick return touchdown in the Super Bowl as well,
for the 108. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Outstanding stuff here. I didn't know if we'd have a lot to talk about with Ed Dixon, but this is a good amount of stuff. And you've clearly done a lot of research on this. I appreciate it, Dan. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again, Ken, for having me on. I always really enjoy this. I'm on Twitter at DRE8820. That's really the main place that I'm online. Always willing to talk football with anyone who wants to.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a recollection short just like this, just tell me the player you want. DM me. They're always open, and I'll get back to you very quickly. And I'm particularly looking for players from the earlier eras of the Ravens. I don't think of there even being an early era of the Ravens, because I've lived through all of it. But if you want to talk about a player from the 90s, I'd really appreciate that. Or even a player from 2000 to 2010. There's less people who really remember or want to talk about those players. Love to hear from you. The more people and the more diverse set of people we can get on here, the better. I treat it like an open mic type thing. And so to that degree, if there's other people out there that maybe don't listen to podcasts like your dad, say, who want to talk about a player from the 1990s, that'd be great. Try and get him involved in that. And I'd for certain appreciate that. Dan, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.